Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show, the Blog Talk Radio Show, on every evening, sometimes at 6:30, sometimes at 8, sometimes at 10, and sometimes at 11. But it's always on the button every evening, and weekends too, when I can squeeze it in. I want to tell you a little about this show and the kind of stuff that it is involved in. First of all, the show, I'm a Christian, and I'm a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary, and I have an MDiv degree in biblical studies and languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And I have been a pastor in the Lutheran Church at one point. And this show is concerned with the biblical revelation. It is concerned with theology. It is concerned with theological truth and Christian truth, as I understand it. The show also has a literary emphasis. I'm a great fan of English, American, Russian, French, and German literature. The show has a great emphasis on literature, and I'm very anxious to discuss literature and that people may know it and grasp it and know its wonder, the wonder of great literature and the beauty of great literature. The show also has a political and current events element. I'm generally conservative, but I do follow Christ in my thinking, with a concern for the poor and underclass people in the world. That's basically what the show is about. And now I'm going to go a little bit about the elements of the show that are important. This is a politically incorrect show. It's not concerned with media lies, media falsehoods. It's concerned with critical, valid thinking, honest discernment, and honest intellectual activity. It is not concerned with lies or media falsehoods in the least, which is politically correctness, but is essentially a lie. And I have no particular concern for political correctness. I am interested in getting at the truth by honest discernment and honest intellectual activity. That is what I'm concerned about, getting at truth and facts, not with political correctness. Tell you that I also am a Christian, and I'm a very dedicated Christian. I've been a Christian since my baptism in 1948. I'm not about to abandon that position. I think it's a true position. It's the valid position. It's the accurate position to lead your life. And I believe in the truth of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and in the creeds of the church, Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene Creed, these are my guidelines for my thinking. And if I read a book, I read a Christian book such as John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, T.S. Eliot, and many others, such as Bonhoeffer, Calvin, Luther, Augustine, of course, the epistles of Paul, Paul was a very profound religious thinker. And his letters are extremely worth reading and absorbing. And as I say, I have other books, Christian books, that interest me and that move me, such as G.K. Chesterton is another example of great Christian books, and of course C.S. Lewis, and John Milton's Great Paradise Lost, and Paradise Regained, and Samson Agonistes. These are the great, great books of all time. Milton, this very great mind, wrote these books while he was blind, totally couldn't see. He wrote one of the great epic poems of all time, Paradise Lost, which he honed in on the mankind's falling into sin as the main event in history. And it was the main event in history. It's the all-time historical event. Cosmic historical event, mankind's fall into sin. I've also run two radio shows, a Blog Talk radio show and a podcast radio show, and these shows attract many listeners from all over the world. And I'm pleased to say that Saudi Arabia seems to have great interest in my Blog Talk show. And over 4,000 people have visited the podcast, obviously, I'm very happy that my dear Muslim brothers and sisters are so interested and open to Christian thinking. And in fact, I know a very wonderful philosophy student in Iran who was a Muslim but was very interested in my Christian books and wanted to read them and get a hold of them. Very intelligent person. Only intelligent people have an interest in things. Those who do not have an interest in things, shall we say, they are not particularly movers and shakers of the world culture. They may be functional on a certain level. Their functionality is basic and limited. They're not contributing in thought, nor do they have an interest in contributing in thought, nor do they care about thought or ideas or anything like that. These are the people that I respect, but unfortunately I don't think they are contributing a great deal to world culture or thinking. I also have written 10 books, Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, my interpretations of 41 parables, and lately a book on the Psalms, my interpretations of the 150 Psalms in the Psalter. To me, the parables are very significant because they are the words and thoughts of the Son of God, of Christ. And the words and mind of God are unmatchable in what they can do for us if we give some thought to them. They found the 41 parables are found in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they are very great. They are Jesus' advice. They are his warnings. They bear careful reading in every way because they come from the mind of God Almighty in heaven in the person of his only begotten Son. And now, I think that you should know that I've written this book on the Psalms lately. It's 390 pages of thinking on the Psalms, on each of the Psalms. It contains an analysis and meditation. I think you'll find it interesting. The Psalms are very moving Hebrew lyric poetry. They are fantastic poetry, and they represent the great poetry of the Jewish nation of all time. I can't stop reading the Psalms. I've read them since I was in Sunday school, and I cannot stop reading them because they move me spiritually and in every way that nothing moves me in the same way. Next, I'm planning other books. I'm planning 3 blog books of my blogs, literary, philosophical, and theological blogs. I'm planning 3 books of those. I'm also planning a book, an analysis of the book of Job, as well as the miracles in the Bible. These all are, I enjoy writing because I think in writing is the only way that we can come to know anything worth knowing. Certainly, as Mortimer Adler said in How to Read a Book, he said images are images which people think they can learn from are nothing more than drugs. And he made another point in this great book, How to Read a Book. He said, he wrote it in 1940. People will not say this today, but he said it, and he said it aptly and correctly, that the Bible is the foundation of Western culture in every way. I've written three major articles in the Syracuse Law Review and in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal. And these particular lengthy articles have been bought by many European, Asian, African, South American, and North American libraries. And they have been bought by the State Department. And Syracuse Law Review has been bought by the, on the criminal procedure, has been bought by the United States Supreme Court. I'm happy that my work is read at that level of society and understood. It doesn't give me pride. I don't believe in pride and ego, but I am happy that people find what I write worth reading, I would hope. If any writer wants that, and that's what I would want most assuredly. Tonight I'm going to talk about one of the parables that's found in my book on the parables of Jesus, A Personal Commentary, Chapter 2, the Parable of the Patient Husbandman. It's found in Mark 4, 26-29 as follows. And the kingdom of, and then he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He knows not how. The earth produces of itself first the blade, then the ear. When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So, this is a very important parable for us to understand. It's somewhat difficult to grasp. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like akin to a man scattering seed on the ground. We seed then sprouts, but the husbandman doesn't exactly know why or how. But Jesus seems to say that God's actions in the world and the way they will happen are not predictable, but gradual. The main thing is that that no one can make the Word of God grow. The process of God's kingdom taking root and growing is unpredictable and will happen in God's own time, just as we cannot predict when we or anyone else will grow into Christ or where Christ will return in the final judgment. This parable says that the process of opening minds and hearts goes along gradually and slowly. The time will come, in this parable says, as mandated by the cosmic Christ, the God who rules over heavens and earth, who is the God of history and all human events. So this is the thing with this parable. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed on the ground when the seed sprouts, but the husbandman doesn't exactly know why or how. Jesus seems to say here that God's actions in the world and the way they will happen are not predictable. The parable says that no one can make the Word of God grow. The process of God's kingdom taking root and growing is unpredictable and will happen in God's own time, just as we cannot predict when we or anyone else will grow into Christ or when Christ will return in the final judgment. This parable says the process of opening minds and hearts is gradual. The time will come, the parable says, when Christ, the God who rules heavens and earth, who is the God of history, will come to the world, and the kingdom of God will take root. The time will come, the parable says, is ended by the cosmic Christ, the God who rules the heavens and earth, who is the God of history and all human events. As Christ is presented to the world and the gospel is presented, we cannot know in whom will take root or when, in the fullness of time, the kingdom of God will come and make itself known in the world. I think the key is that we cannot predict this seed, when this gospel seed, this message of salvation, we don't know when and whom it will take root. But this parable says in the fullness of time, in God's own time, the kingdom of God, as seed which is scattered, will make it known in the world. The seed that matures in the bear, in the blade, and the ears represent the souls of human persons. And when those souls are transformed and grow as the seed in the ground, they will all join in Christ in his resurrection and the new heavens and earth. The harvest in this parable stands for those people who at the end of time have heard the word of God and been transformed into sons of God in Christ, and at the end of time are joining him and proceeding into eternal life in Christ in the Trinity. So let's take a look at this again. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed on the ground, and the seed sprouts, but the person who has spread the seed doesn't know exactly why. And so Jesus seems to say that God's actions take root in the world and the way they will happen are not predictable. The parable says that no one can make the word of God grow. The process of God's kingdom taking root and growing is unpredictable and will happen when God ordains it, just as we cannot predict when we or anyone else will grow into Christ or Christ will return in the final judgment. this parable says that the process of opening minds and hearts is gradual. The time will come, this parable says, that when God and Christ are presented to the world, and we cannot predict when this seed will take root or who it will take root in, but it will eventually take root in the elect. The seed that matures into the blade of the ear represents the souls of human citizens. When those souls are fully transformed and grow into Christ, they will join him in the resurrection and in the new heavens and new earth. Harvest stands for those people who at the end of time have joined and heard the word of God in Christ and are proceeding into eternal life. I think the key is the gradual, the seed. The kingdom of God or Jesus is like seed, and the seed takes root in some people and others, and in others it does not. But at some point, those people who respond to the gospel message, who are the seed that have been spread, they will come into eternal life in Christ. I suggest you read this parable in Mark 4:26-29, called The Parable of the Patient Husbandman, and read the chapter 2 in my book, which is The Parables of Jesus, a personal commentary, and take a look at it. And obviously, as I said to you, my dear friends, before, no word of Jesus lacks profundity, lacks meaning, and he challenges us and all of us in what he says about himself and about the world. We should listen to it. We should read it and reread it and reread it. And I suggest you read this parable 100 times to understand the Son of God's message in it. And you perhaps read chapter 2 in my book, my interpretation of this parable. I hope you've enjoyed this today. And I will perhaps hit the mark on this parable another day when I have more time to speak of it and understand it myself and grasp it. The words of Jesus are a challenge, and they move our minds immeasurably if we listen to them and read them.